Hi guys, just a quick thing to say, if you're not into me speaking a load of bubbles at the start, you can skip forward to 9 minutes 20 seconds and your ghost story should start. Thank you very much.
Live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Hello, you wonderful, beautiful human beings. I hope you're all okay and everything is tickety-boo in your world. It's time for the Sunday sermon with me, your minister of the sinister. I've just made that up. I'm going to have to trademark that. Somebody must have minister of sinister, mustn't they? Well, if not, it's mine now. Off to the copywriters with you, boy. So, what has been going on? Well, we've had a little religious week this week. Well, I say religious, not all religious. You know, me and Becca went away. We went away to a lovely caravan. Yes, we did. We managed to get a really cheap caravan stay in Cheshire. Yes, Cheshire. And it was lovely. And then we come back and I had my niece's communion yesterday and she looked lovely. But because... as I'm a very lapsed Catholic, I don't go to church all that often and haven't been to a communion in years. It's very jarring to see this parade of junior school kids dressed like they're getting married, you know, like in white dresses and all the lads in suits. It's very lovely and they're all in veils and all this. But I thought, you know, if I knew nothing about Catholicism, I'd be like, what weird ceremony is this? God, they're marrying kids together. This is awful. But it was a great little mass. And the priest, who's been the parish priest now for about Christ. I didn't mean that. Sorry for the blasphemy, but you know what I mean. Christ, he's been here for about maybe 12, 13 years. Father Anton. He's originally from Jamaica, I think. Anyway, he's dead good. As in, he gets people engaged and stuff like that, which is a bit of a rarity in a Catholic mass, but he's very good. Anyway, towards the end of the whole event, he's like kind of saying to the kids and to the parents of the kids, make sure this isn't a one-time deal. Because I don't know whether Liverpool Catholicism is different to everywhere else, but basically there's a good chance those parents and those kids aren't going to go back to church at all until the communion, and then they won't go back until they're married. You know, it's just a thing. It's kind of like, I am a Catholic. Do you go to church? No. I go for the big events. And I don't know whether that's widespread or whether it's a done thing, but the priest is very much onto this. And he's like, no doubt I won't see any of yous again until you're married. And like people laugh. And he goes, another thing I will ask, he says, I'm often, now this was the bit that piqued my ears. He says, I'm often asked by parishioners to come and bless the house. He says, you say you have a lot of strange things going on in your house. And so obviously at this point, my ears pricked right up. And he says, and the list is as long as my arm. And when I turn up, he said, I see posters of Bob Marley, of Justin Bieber, Britney Spears. I think he's got his dates a bit wrong. But then he says, you know, and but I don't see any signs of the cross or, you know, anything that says that you're part of the Christian faith. He says, so maybe this is the reason you have your strange things. And people laugh. And then he says, well, please try and include this in the home. And then he moves on. But I'm instantly thinking, I need to speak to you on a podcast basis. And he's a very, well, he's a Roman Catholic priest. Do you know what I mean? So how that's going to go, I don't know. Now, am I being a devil by saying this? Because he did announce as well that they're going to get rid of our parish church, St. Aidan's, because it's kind of a mixed church. There's St. Aidan's and St. Agnes, all one church. And they're going to get rid of St. Aidan's church, apparently, demolish St. Agnes and build a new one for both parishes. And he said it's going to cost $2.5 million to do it. And I thought, I wonder if I could say, cut you a little deal here, Father. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you, say, £100 towards the plight of the churches here, and on the proviso that you tell me some of these house blessing stories. And then I thought, is that evil? And I don't know whether it is. You know, part of my ethical lapsed Catholic conscience is saying, you can't do that. You can't bribe a priest. And in essence, that's what you're doing. Because if he says, no, I won't do that, but please, can you still give the £100? And I go, no, I shan't. Give me your juicy paranormal stories, and I will then hand over the cold, hard denarii. Can you do that? I don't think you can. I may send him an email and say, dear Father, lapsed Catholic here, but, you know, former altar boy, I think we have the same boss. Could you please let's spill some of these strange stories that you say, list as long as your arm, that you've been to in my local area, because I'd really like to know the deets. Don't have to give names, Father. But there's 100 shiny pounds with your church's name all over. This is evil. Just saying that, it's evil. I'm an evil human being. Anyway, so that's how we've spent our last few days. I hope that you're all wonderfully well. As I say, we have a belter episode for you today. We really do. Thanks to all of you wonderful people who send in your stories. Now, please continue to do that. Send your emails to contact@talkaboutghosts.com and I then read them out. That's how the show works. Yes, indeed. Oh, I feel like I should do a public service announcement too, because myself and Matt from over of Matt and Freya fame at Royal Philharmonic Chainsaw Massacre, go check them out, were discussing the other day that there was a deluge of people coming into the Talk About Ghosts Facebook group. And you can just find that search, "We Need to Talk About Ghosts" on Facebook. You have to be let in because some people like to come in and say, "Please buy my Ray-Bans. They're not real." And you go, "No." So you have to just say that you're a nice person, basically. But anyway, a lot of new people have joined up. I mean, he said to me, "Do you know why that is?" I said, "I've no earthly idea." And then I was catching up on podcasts, and two wonderful things happened where you're just like, one was Emma from Real Life Ghost Stories had sent some very nice things, and I think a lot of people have checked out the show because of that. And also Brennan from Ghost Story Guys had give a nice shout out on his Patreon show. So if you're here, what was that? Here. If you're here, Mick Jagger's coming in ear cave. If you're here because of either of those two wonderful human beings, and you're now wondering what the living F is this, where are the ghosts? They are coming, okay? I apologise. I'm trying to get a grip of the rambling at the start. But if you want to skip ahead, you will eventually find ghost stories, and they're just ghost stories. Yeah, I'll comment on them at the end. Brilliant. Fine. They're just ghost stories. Okay. This is just me saying hello after a week of not saying hello. That's all. But I do want to say a big thank you to my paranormal podcasting brethren familiar of Emma from RLGS and, of course, Brennan from TGSG. And as we're sticking with anagrams and acronyms, OMG, WTF, what do we have here? It's TPTYS, or the Patreon thank you song. The guitar is well and truly out, and we need to say thank you to two wonderful new Patreons, Amanda West and Lorde Ross. Yes, what lovely names. And when you sign up to Patreon, you get access to over 200 shows just for Patreons only. The ones that have never been aired. Well, I think two have. But you know what I mean? Two a week just for Patreons, you lucky, lucky things. And you also help the show keep going. So go up to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. And not only do you get all that content, but I sing your name as a thank you. So this is for Amanda West and Lorde Ross. And we're going to do it, I've decided, in the style of early 90s alt acoustic rocker Jewel. So this is for you two ladies. Here we go. Oh, it's Jewel, all right. I wanna say thank you to two lovely people who signed up to Patreon. I'm happy Amanda West, Lorde Ross. Together you're keeping the lights on. Yeah, that'd be the name of the album, wouldn't it? Keeping the lights on, I think. Gonna do it one more time just for you guys. I wanna say thank you to two lovely people who signed up to Patreon. I'm happy Amanda West, Lorde Ross. Together you're keeping the lights on. End it on a seventh. You know the rules by now, people. But if you'd like me to batch your name to some alt-90s songs, then get in touch. Go to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts and I will sing your name and you get all the extra stuff. In the meantime and in between time, shall we finally, finally get to some spooky stories? Yes, I think we shall. And we are back to start the paranormal poncubine. That's not a word. But let's get right into it. The first email that comes in today is from Nelson. Now, it's a bit of a show crossover, this, because he references The Dark Paranormal, my other podcast. But he's emailed it into the Talk About Ghosts email address, which makes me assume that he listens to both shows. Also, he's asking for advice. It's not something we would do necessarily on the other show. So we're going to read it on this. I hope that's okay, Nelson. Anyway. Nelson writes, "Hi, Kevin. Hi. My name is Nelson and I live in Alaska. I discovered your podcast, The Dark Paranormal, a few weeks ago and I can't get enough. It's given me plenty of chills during my long work days. Well, I'm glad you like it, Nelson. I wanted to share an experience that I had back in 2016 and I hadn't given it much thought until I listened to your episode titled The Demonic Attachment. In that episode, the writer said that her paranormal experiences started happening after a dream that she had. The experience that I had was also a dream, and it was every bit as terrifying as the one experienced by the writer. That being said, I've yet not had any paranormal experiences since having the dream back in 2016. At least none that I'm aware of. Many parts of the dream are very similar to the other experiences shared on your show. A little too similar for my comfort. I wanted to share my dream and ask if you or any of your listeners have heard of any similar dreams, in brackets, beside the dream shared by the writer in The Demonic Attachment. How common are these sort of dreams, and what advice would you give someone who's experienced a dream like this? I'm more so asking for help and advice, since you seem to have a lot more experience in this arena than I do. God bless. You think very highly of me there, sir. Forgive me if this seems jumbled and disorganised. I have only shared this story with my partner, and even then I had trouble getting the word out. So this is the dream of Nelson, and seriously guys, if anyone listening to this thinks, oh my god, I've had that dream, I've had similar dreams, this has then happened since, get in touch, contact a Talk About Ghosts, and we'll get back in touch with Nelson and we'll see what plays out. But in the meantime and in between time, this is Nelson's story. What stands out to me most about this dream is how well I remember it. I usually have a hard time remembering dreams, even if I just woke up from them. But I can remember this dream very well, even though it was 5 years ago. The night I had the dream, I was sleeping in a hotel room with my family. I was graduating from university the next day, and my parents had come to town to be present for the ceremony and to help me move out of the dorms. I was sleeping in the hotel with them because I'd already moved my bed out of the dorms. In the dream, I remember sitting at a round table on the sidewalk in front of a cafe, on a busy street. I was sitting at the table with my parents and my best friend from high school. I remember feeling very content and comfortable at the table. It was a pleasant day, the sun was out, and the city sidewalk was filled with busy pedestrians. I could feel the sun on my face, as well as an early morning chill. Not too cold, just crisp and comfortable when paired with the rising sun. I could smell the fresh bagels from inside the cafe, but I particularly remember the sound. I remember hearing the busy hum of the city, people talking, cars driving by, the clanking of dishes from the cafe. I think I remember the sound of the dream most because I remember everything suddenly going silent. At the same time everything went silent, I remember feeling compelled to look down the sidewalk. I felt like there was something that wanted me to see it. I remember the vibrant colours of the city street fading to black, white and grey. The city and my family carried on with what they were doing. I felt like I'd been locked into a connection with something that no one else could see or feel. I felt like I had suddenly fallen out of the reality that we all exist in. Looking down the sidewalk through the herd of pedestrians, I could suddenly make out a cloaked figure wearing a black hood and a crude farm animal mask, like the ones you see in those creepy old photos of Halloween costumes in the early 20th century. Then several more of these figures appeared through the constantly moving herd of people, all wearing black hood and crude masks of different farm animals. They were staring at me. Then all of them raised their arms in unison and pointed at me. I was frozen in my cafe chair. I was too afraid to do anything. Then I heard a quiet noise through the silence. It sounded like a teapot when it just starts whistling. The noise seemed far away at first, but then it felt like it was getting closer. I could hear the noise turning from a quiet, faraway whistle to a scream that was getting louder and closer to me. The scream felt like it was surrounding me when I finally realized that the scream was coming from me. It was a scream that I didn't think could ever come from me. I remember feeling frightened by my own screaming. As I was screaming, with the figures still staring and pointing at me, my body suddenly lifted out of the cafe chair. With my body stretched flat and my back to the sky, my body continued to be pulled up. More accurately, it felt like the earth was being pulled away from me. And as the earth was being pulled away from me, my eyes continued to be fixated on the hooded figures. They kept pointing at me, and I kept screaming. It was at this point I finally woke up in a panic. My heart was racing and I was breathing heavily. I was still so terrified of how real the dream felt. I felt like I had just seen something I wasn't supposed to see, and I couldn't sleep for the rest of the night. Although this was a very traumatic experience for me, I chalked it up to being stressed out about all the big life changes I knew would come along with graduating. After all, I was graduating with a degree in psychology, with an emphasis on criminology and sociology. I knew that these sorts of experiences have a rational explanation, and so I put this dream in the back of my mind. But I can't get rid of it. Since then, I've started working as a probation officer and as a member of the criminal justice system. I'm exposed to some pretty awful things, but since my job is to help my clients change their lives for the better, I've gotten pretty good at explaining why awful things happen. I consider myself a skeptic with an affinity for the macabre. That said, I couldn't help but notice the similarities my dream shared with many of the stories from your show. The sudden silence of environmental noise, the absence of colour, the archetypal black hoods. Perhaps this is just confirmation bias. Unlike the writer from the demonic attachment episode, I have not had any experiences like this since then. But the handful of similarities are oddly specific, and I had not heard about them until I started listening to your show and the trauma of that dream came rushing back. I'm extremely curious to know if you've heard of more dreams like mine. If so, why do you think they happen? Hope you're doing well in these wild times. Respectfully, Nelson. Well, Nelson, that story just gave me anxiety. Thank you for that. It was described so well. And for anyone, this isn't just a plug for the podcast, The Dark Paranormal, but maybe go and check out the demonic attachment episode because there are striking similarities in what Nelson's sent in there. Now, I'm not saying, Nelson, that therefore means you're going to experience a hell of a lot of paranormal activity, and hopefully you don't, or hopefully you do, and you write it all down and send it in. But I don't know what to say. So if anyone does, if anyone's had a similar dream, I mean, we don't normally do dreams on this show, but because you specifically asked for help, I couldn't do it through the Dark Paranormal podcast because it's not that ilk. I thought I would still read it out because it's a terrifying dream. It's an absolutely terrifying dream, the farmyard animal masks, etc. And I don't know. I mean, I've only had, realistically, I've only had two dreams which make me think there's something there. I've broached something there that I shouldn't have. And I know what you mean. It's not just a dream. It feels more real than a dream. And one of them, very quickly, one of them was I seen a woman being crucified on a cross made of bones. And she was oriental and there was a fire at her feet and it was horrible. And I just remember it vividly to this day. And the word that was coming in my head was something like, it's not this, and this sounds like almost racist, but it's not. But the word was like Yamaha. So, and I've tried to search if there's something around that and I can't find anything. So again, if anyone knows anything about that, please let me know. And the other one was, I had a dream. I was held by a humongous, like a giant figure made out of energy, and it was cradling me in its arms. I was a grown man, but it was cradling me like a baby in its arms, and expressionless looked down at me in its arms, and then with its right hand started picking flesh off my cheek. And again, you know, absolutely felt like I'd broken through something and was like, what the fuck are you? And it's like, well, I'm now your energy mother and I'm going to start feeding off your cheek, actually. So yeah, so we don't normally do dreams, but I thought that one was quite anxiety inducing. Some of the descriptions in it as well, you know, like it felt like the earth was being pulled away, you know, stuff like that for me gives sincerity and authenticity, because I would never have described that in that way, unless I'd experienced it. So thank you very much, Nelson, for getting in touch. Anyway, let's move away from the dream sphere and back into ghosts that we can see, feel and touch. Or maybe not, but you know what I mean. So this next email is from Lee. And he writes, hi, Kev. Hope you're well. Thanks, Lee. Yes, I am. Not long found your podcast after hearing Lainey and Ben mention you over on Instagram. Ah, the Lainster and the Benster. Go and check them out on Instagram, by the way. They have an actual ghost. An actual ghost, genuinely. And they're doing really good work in trying to document it. And I know there'll be a lot of naysayers who say, we've had them on the show, actually, and there'll be a lot of naysayers who say, oh, why would you do this? Why would you do that? But you know what? What else would you do? They're putting cameras up and they're catching shit. So don't judge, go and watch, and I think you'll be pretty surprised, yes. Anyway, I'm starting with your early shows and working up to the recent stuff. I nearly sent this to your old Hotmail account. I don't know if you still use it or not. I actually don't, but thank you. You're doing great, by the way. Aw, although you don't need me to tell you that. I do, actually, Lee, because you've been going for a few years. Yes, I have. Anyway, let's get on to the tales I want you to hear. They were shared with me by my mum and a couple of my aunts and uncles. They're a family of 9 children, 4 girls and 5 boys, and of course they live in a shoe. I made that last bit up, but bloody hell, 4 girls and 5 boys. Anyway, let's get to it. These are Lee's stories. During the 60s and up to the late 70s, they and my grandparents lived in an old farmhouse in a hamlet called Geothers, which is in mid-Cornwall. At the time, their ages ranged from 9 to late teens, with my mum being 4 years from the oldest. Mum awoke one night to find her younger sister Daphne leaning over in her bed. It was raining outside and Daphne was wearing her now wet duffel coat, hood and zip done right up so there was only a small hole where her face was. Mum said to her, "What the hell are you doing? Get out," and turned away from Daphne to go back to sleep. Daphne didn't say a word, and as Mum didn't hear her walk across the room and or open and shut the door, she turned around to tell her to get out again. But there was nobody there. So she got up out of bed and decided to silently creep out onto the landing. And she could see Daphne fast asleep in her own bed, in the room on the other side of the landing, some 60 seconds after she'd been leaning over Mum in her bed, wearing a steaming wet parka coat. One New Year's Eve, the whole family except Mum's brother Gary went to the local working man's club to see in the new year. Gary stayed at home with his girlfriend who'd come round for the evening. She was picked up prior to midnight by her father, leaving Gary alone in the house. Gary went up to his room. A short while later, he heard the commotion of the rest of the family returning home and went downstairs to meet them. Reaching the bottom of the stairs, everything went silent. He went into the lounge and found it empty. The kitchen was empty. He checked every room downstairs and found nobody was home. He went running upstairs and into the bathroom to lock the door. There was silence, and then he heard it start again. This time on the stairs and the landing, outside the bathroom door. He was stuck now. He couldn't climb out of the window and couldn't get to the phone as he was too scared to go out of the door. He waited there for a full hour until the family did actually return. Another time, a younger brother, Chris, hid in a wardrobe in his and Gary's room. He planned on jumping out to frighten Gary. He heard the door open and close and, sensing his opportunity, pushed the wardrobe open quickly and found a man he had never seen before stood at the end of his bed. The man was described as short, old and scruffy, and took a step towards Chris, who shot out of the room as fast as he could and jumped down the flight of stairs 5 steps at a time. They searched the whole house and didn't see this man again. Mum's eldest brother, David, aka Crockett, had left home to start his own family with his new wife, Maxine. A short while after, the first grandchild, my eldest cousin Michelle, was born. My nan, Mary, was up in the garden pegging out washing when she heard a baby crying coming from the kitchen. Thinking Crockett and Maxine had visited with the new baby, Gran shouted that she's on the way in and she's nearly finished. Gran says the crying was loud and unmistakably coming from the kitchen. She heard it get louder as she got closer to the back door, and as soon as she crossed the threshold into the kitchen, it stopped. There was no one in the house. Another tale from the house is from Andrew, who at the time was dating and is now married to Daphne. He lived a few hundred yards up the road and says he was cycling at speed through the yard at the front of the house which leads to the road. He was going fast when an old man walked across the gateway. Andrew yelled out, "Get out the way!" Unfortunately, it wouldn't have been quick enough and Andrew had to take evasive action to miss the old man. He fell from his bike and turned around waiting for a bashing from the old man, but found he was alone and there was nobody to be seen. Weird, eh? I lived in the house for the first 6 months of my life. Obviously, I don't remember anything, but I wish I had access to it again now. The farmhouse is detached, and the nearest house is the terrace in which Andrew lived, some 100 yards up the road. The road is unlit at night time, and whenever I have to drive through it past the house, I have an electric charge go through me. I get shivers up my spine, and the hairs on the back of my neck and arms stand on end. Apologies if any of this seems rambling. Cheers, Lee. P.S. I've a couple of more weird stories from my parents' house, where they still live. I'll send them over to you if you wish. I do wish, Lee. Thank you very much. What a little plethora of terrifying events. I wonder what the history of that place is. It's interesting that there's clearly some sort of, well, I'm going to say horrific thing in the kitchen with a baby, because it's never going to be good, is it, if there's a ghost baby crying in the kitchen and when you go in, it's not there. It's hardly going to be a jolly affair that causes that. And this old man who comes out and goes, hey, I'm going to jump in front of your bike and then disappear. He sounds like a fun person, doesn't he? What a lovely piece of cake he is. But Lee, yes, please do send in the remainder of your weird stories. And finally today, we have an email from the US of A from a person called Sal. And this is Sal's email. Hello, Kevin. Hello, Sal. My name is Sal, and I live in the United States. I've been listening to your podcast for the past month, and I can't get enough. God bless you, Sal. All the way from the AM when I get up for work until PM when it's time to sleep. Christ, Sal, you want to have a day off? Imagine my voice in your head for that long. Bloody hell. God bless you. Listening to all these great stories reminded me of the paranormal experiences I've had in the past and still have to this day, from time to time. I'm going to start out from when I first started remembering them to the current date. Just in some key occurrences. Hopefully this can help you out with a good story or even a conversation. I'm sure it will, Sal. Let's get to your experiences. Having flashbacks to when I first started to have paranormal experiences is not hard at all. Growing up in a household that are firm believers in the paranormal, you are for sure to hear something that has to do with ghosts or the other side. For always being around that, I always had an eye out, or was just able to feel when the air around me would tense, as if something was about to happen. My first childhood experience started in my aunt's house, who lived right down the street from my family and I, more specifically with my cousin, who was the same age as me and her imaginary friend. The very first being the time we were playing hide and seek throughout the house, and me not being able to find her anywhere, I headed towards the basement, which I hated, feeling as if something was watching you whilst you were down there. I took a quick look around to find nothing while the growing feeling of being watched took over me, until I finally had enough and booked it all the way up the stairs to hear hard footsteps behind me all the way up, just for me to look back expecting my cousin to be there, thinking I'd overlooked her, but no one was there. I remember being so scared I had to stay in the backyard for the remainder of the day and refused to go back in. On a separate occurrence, seeing my cousin walk into her room from down the hall as I chased after her, just to find an empty room and to find out she wasn't even home. To this day, I can't explain that. There were many more occurrences in the house focused on my cousin and her imaginary friend that to this day is still spoken about within the family. Now, I'll switch over to my middle school days. I lived in a house with my family where my younger sister had her own imaginary friend named Eric, who she described as being a boy wearing torn-up farming clothes and being very dirty. Whilst living in this house, many things would happen, such as lights turning on and off by themselves, constantly seeing shadows in your peripheral vision, and objects being moved around. In one specific instance, a family friend was sleeping over on our living room couch that had direct view into our guest space with a separate eating area. It was late in the night when everyone was asleep, and she saw the faint figure of a boy who she thought was me, until she called my name and the boy didn't have a response. She realized she was seeing Eric. She shut her eyes hard until she opened them and he was gone. Needless to say, she went home right after that, practically in tears. In that same house, I had an experience where I had my PlayStation hooked up into our basement television, and seeing something in the corner of my eye as our basement was sectioned off by a large tarp. It moved in a way that someone had punched it from the other side, and I had run up the stairs as fast as I could, feeling as if something was inches from grabbing my ankles. Fast forward to my first apartment. Nothing had started off for a couple of months, until I came home from work one day to see my bedroom curtains thrown across from the wall. They did not actually directly fall down, but across the room. And just to be clear, I don't have any pets. Second, being on multiple occasions where I would turn off my kitchen and living room lights at the same time, and hear a sudden flap of the blinds. I would turn my lights back on right away to see my blinds on the door to my balcony moving, as if something had just hit them forcefully. Time to time, I'm having knocking / soft taps on my bedroom door in the middle of the night. On occasion, I would pry my door open as fast as I could to find nothing there. My girlfriend was even having a hard time believing me, so I FaceTimed her at 2 a.m. one night just to wake her up and let her hear for herself and show her how I pry the door open just to have nothing there. And the newest occurrence to happen is about 2 months ago. I was eating lunch at my dining room table and felt a tap on my left shoulder. Knowing I had no one in the house, I immediately left and went over to my girlfriend's, almost in tears, because I've never had anything touch me until then. I have seen and have had many more experiences that will just make this email even longer, but I think you've read enough to know I've had my fair share. So sorry if this is longer than what you usually get, but hopefully you find it of use. Thanks, Kevin. Hope to hear from you soon. Sal. Well, Sal, I'm going to sing to you. You said that you've had more. Yeah. Experiences there. Yeah. I'm going to stop singing. Please put the rest of those down in an email because that was fantastic. So if you could put them down, please, Sal, the rest of your experiences and send them over to contact@talkaboutghost.com and I will read them out because that was brilliant. Thank you very much for getting in touch, Sal. I sincerely mean that. So it reminds me as well, you say there about an experience you had, you went into a back garden because you didn't want to be in the house and you just stayed in the back garden all day. When I was younger, I may have said this on an earlier episode, but me mum and me sister were sat downstairs and we all hated going into me mum and dad's bedroom. There was never a bulb in there for some reason. I'm not going to say because it kept going out or anything like that. It just wasn't. And that's where the immersion heater was, or the boiler, if you will. And you had to walk through the door, obviously, and then go across the room to this cupboard. And because it was pitch black, the door, it was like an oldish house. Well, say oldish, it was built in the 40s. But the door, the bedroom door, would close behind you. And you'd see the light starting to go as you were heading towards the boiler. It was a horrible room. Anyway, and they also had like this, they had like a unit under the window to the right. And like a three-pronged mirror, if that makes sense. So you had like a big oval mirror in the middle and two smaller oval mirrors attached to it so that it stood up. Anyway, one night, I was going to turn the immersion heater on. I must have drawn the short straw. And as I'm walking across the room, see the light fading behind me as the door's shutting. That mirror fell flat, just fell bang, massive bang. I didn't know what it was, the bang at the time. I bolted down the stairs like five at a time, ran into the living room and went, someone's in the bedroom. All three of us went and stood in the front garden. When we had to wait for my brother to come up from his mate who was just down the street. And we were like, someone's, I heard it. And my sister and my mother were like, we heard it. There was a massive bang from upstairs. And he went up and it turns out the mirror just fell flat. Don't know why. No one knows why. Could it have been paranormal? Yes. Could it have been wind? Not really, because it was a big, solid mirror. But anyway, yeah. So I share your experience of needing to get out of somewhere that you think's haunted and just sit, even if it means sitting in the wild. Well, the front garden in Liverpool is hardly wild, but you get my point. Okay, guys, that brings us to an end of another Sunday sermon. Thank you so much to everyone who sent stories in. Don't forget, if you've got a story you sat on, send it to, there's a lot of S's in that sentence, wasn't there? Send it to contact@talkaboutghost.com and I will read it out. If you want more of this, do you want some more, Gavna? Sounds like I'm having a fight. You can go to patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. I'm just about to record this week's episode right here and now. And yeah, in the meantime, in between time, as Jeremy Springer would say in the mid-90s, stylee, take care of yourselves and each other, and I will speak to you next Sunday. Tatty bye.